Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 1, the Degraded Dynasties of Kali Yuga, text number 9. Is there anything written anywhere? Saeka chatram vritivim. Anulangita shasanaha shashisiti maha padmo dvitiya eva bhargava saeka chatram pritivim Anulangita Shasanaha Sashishati Mahat Padmo Tutiya Iva Bhargava. Ladies, Nanda, Eka Chatram, under a single leadership, Prativim, the entire earth, Anulangita, undefied, Shasha Ashashana, his rulership, Shishiti, he will have sovereignty over Mahapadma, the Lord of Mahapadma, Vitiya, a second, Iva, as if. Bhagava, Parashurama. Translation and purport by Suprabhu's disciples. The Lord of Mahapadma, King Nanda, will rule over the entire earth just like a second Parashurama, and no one will challenge his authority. Purport. In the eighth verse of this chapter, it was mentioned that King Nanda would destroy the remnants of the Kshatriya order. Therefore, he is here compared to Lord Parashuram, who annihilated the Kshatriya class 21 times in a previous age. So we have a whole chapter on names and dynasties and things like that. And since I wasn't there, I can't tell you very much about these things. But we can read them, and maybe I can say something about perhaps why they're even there. Because it's probably, if the Srimad Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun and is meant to give us enlightenment in this age of Kali, especially with knowledge detachment, Krishna Sudama Upagate, Dharma Gyana Dvisaha, Kalo Nashta Rishamesha, Paranarko Dunoditaha. That there must be some purpose in listing Nanda as one of killing all the Kshatriyas. Or these other ones, he will go through a whole list of names and dynasties. He will have eight sons headed by Sumalaya, who controlled the earth as powerful kings for 100 years. A certain Brahmin, Janaka, will betray the trust of King Nanda and his eight sons and will destroy their dynasty. In their absence, the Mauryas will rule the world as the age of Kali continues. Purport. Sridhara Swami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura both confirm that the Brahmana mentioned here is Chanaka, also known as Kautilya or Vatsyayana. The great historical narration, Srimad Bhagavatam, it begins with the events prior to the cosmic manifestation, now reaches into the realm of modern recorded history. Modern historians recognize both the Maurya dynasty and Chandragupta, the king mentioned in the following verse. The local Brahmana will enthrone, this Brahmana will enthrone Chandragupta, whose son will be named Varishasara. The son of Varishasara will be Ashokavardhana. Ashokavardhana will be followed by Suyasa, whose son will be Sangata. His son will be Sashilshuka, Lisuka's son will be Soma Sharma, and Soma Sharma's son will be Shatadanva, and his son will be known as Brihadratha. Well, one good thing about this chapter is if you're initiating guru and you're giving a lot of disciples names, you have a lot of names to choose from the 12th canto. It's a whole canto full of names. O best of the Kurus, these 10 Maurya kings will rule the earth for 137 years of the Kali Yuga. Purport, although 9 kings are mentioned by name, Dasarath appeared after Sujestha before the rule of Sangata, and thus there are 10 Maurya kings. So they only ruled for around, on the average of around 14 years each. Wasn't exactly a marathon for them. My dear King Parikshit, Agimitra will follow this king, and then Sujestha. Sujestha will be followed by Vasumitra, Bhadraka, and the son of Bhadraka, Pulinda. Then the son of Pulinda named Gosha, ruled, followed by Vrajamitra, Bhagavata, and Devabhuti. In this way, O most eminent of the Kuru war heroes, 10 Sugandha kings will rule over the earth for more than 100 years. Then the earth will come under the subjugation of the kings of the Kanva dynasty, who manifest very few good qualities. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the Sugandha dynasty began when General Pushpamitra killed his king Bhadrarata and assumed power. After Pushpamitra came Agnimitra and the rest of the Sugandha dynasty, which lasted for 112 years. These dynasties don't seem to last very long in Kali Yuga. Vasudeva, an intelligent minister coming from the Kanva family, will kill the last of the Sugandha kings. a lusty debauchee named Devabhuti will assume rulership himself. Purport. Apparently, because King Devabhuti was lusty after the wives of other men, his minister killed him, assuming leadership and thus beginning the Kanva dynasty. The son of Vasudev will be Bhumitra, and his son will be Narayan. These kings of the Kanva dynasty will rule the earth for 345 more years of the Kali Yuga. The last of the Kanvas, Susharma, will be murdered by his own servant. Doesn't seem like if you become a king in Kali Yuga, you have to take out life insurance. It's a pretty dangerous position. Bali, a low-class Sudra of the Andhra race. This most degraded Maharaj Bali will have control of the earth for some time. Here is a further description of how uncultured men infiltrated government administration. The so-called king named Bali was described as Asatama, the most impious, uncultured man. Then will follow seven kings of the Abhira race from the city Avibriti, and then 10 Gardabis. After them, 16 kings of the Kankas will rule and be known for their excessive greed. 8 Yavanas will take power, followed by 14 Turukshas, 10 Garundas, and 11 kings of the Mola dynasty. These Abhiras, Gardabis, and Kankas will enjoy the earth for 1,099 years, and the Molas will rule for 300 years. When all of them have died off, they will appear in the city of Kila Kila. That's the sound that Dravida made. Kila Kila. A dynasty of kings consisting of Bhutananda, Vangiri, Shishunandi, Sushinandi's brother, Jashonandi, and Parviraka. These kings of Kikila will hold sway for a total of 106 years. Kakilas will be followed by the 13 sons, the Bahalikas, and after them, King Pushpamitra, his son Dhurmitra, 7 Andhras, 7 Kaushalas, and also the kings of Vidura and Nishadra provinces will separately rule in different parts of the world. There will then appear a king of the Magadha's name, Vishmaspuriji, will be like another Puranjaya. He will turn all the civilized classes into low class, uncivilized men in the same category as Pulindas, Yadus, and Matrakas. Foolish king, Vishvavashpuriji, will maintain the citizens in ungodliness and will use his power to completely disrupt the Kshatriya order. From his capital of Padmavati, he will rule that part of the earth extending from the source of the Ganges to Prayag. At the time, the Brahmins have such promises such as Saurashtra, Avanti, Abhira, Sura, Arbuda, and Malava will forget all their regular principles, and the members of the royal order in these places will become no better than Shudras. The land along the Sindhu River, as well as the districts of Chandrabhaga, Kalti, and Kashmira, will be ruled by Shudras, fallen Brahmins, and meat-eaters. Having given up the path of Vedic civilization, they will have lost all spiritual strength. There will be many such uncivilized kings ruling at the same time, O King Parikshit, and they will be all uncharitable, possessed of fierce tempers, and great devotees of irreligion and falsity. These barbarians in the guise of kings will devour the citizenry, murdering innocent women, children, cows, and Brahmins, and coveting the wives and properties of other men. They'll be erratic in their moods, have little strength of character, and will be very short-lived, indeed not purified by any Vedic rituals, lacking the practice of regular principles. They will be completely covered by the modes of passion and ignorance. Purport. These verses give a concise, accurate description of the fallen leaders of this age. The citizens governed by these low-class kings will imitate the character, behavior, and speech of their rulers. Harassed by their leaders and by each other, they will all suffer ruination. Purport. At the end of the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that Ripujaya or Puranjaya, the first king mentioned in this chapter, ended his rule about 1,000 years after the time of Lord Krishna. Since Lord Krishna appeared approximately 5,000 years ago, Puranjaya must have appeared about 4,000 years ago. This would mean that Vishvapurji, the last king mentioned, would have appeared approximately the 12th century of the Christian era. Modern Western scholars have made the false accusation that Indian Vedic religious literature has no sense of chronological history. But the elaborate historical chronology described in this chapter certainly refutes that naive assessment. That is the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the 10th canto, first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Degraded Dynasties of Kali Yuga. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya De Sitarane. According to the Bhagavatam, we're living in Kali Yuga, and as Kali Yuga goes on, as the next verse will say, Tatas Chanudinam Dharmam Satvam Socham Shamadaya Valena Kaliya Rajan Nakshant Yayo Bhalam Smriti. Day after day, as Kali Yuga goes on, Tatas Chanudinam Dharma, religious principles will gradually decrease. Dasanudinam Dharma, Satvam Socham. And these include things like Satya and Socham, Daya, Shama, Balena Kaliya Rajan, Nakshant Yayoa Bulam Smriti. And people's Bali strength, memory will all decrease. Now, why in Kali Yuga? Is everything on the downward spiral. According to some authorities, so-called authorities, even astrological, some astrologers say we're in Treta Yuga. So if we're in Treta Yuga, imagine what Kali Yuga would actually. But we can see by the symptoms, and the symptoms are being mentioned here, and the onus is all about the cursing of Sringhi, cursing Maharaj Parikshit, a Kshatriya king, the Brahmins in competition with the Kshatriyas, and everything degrading. Therefore, it is said in Kali Yuga, there is no Dharma, and there is no idea what the purpose of life is, namely moksha. And there's no idea that how economic development should be done, what is economic development, how it should proceed, what's the rules and regulations for economic development in order to enjoy the sense gratification to come to the platform of liberation. Because there's no Dharma and there is no idea what the purpose of life is, they've taken economic development is their religion. And the purpose of life being sense gratification. And therefore, according to the Bhagavad Gita, This is the Chintyam Aparayam Cha Pralayantam Upashitya Kama Papoga Parama Etavam Iti Nischitya Asha Pasha Shitarabhara Kama Krota Parayana Ihanti Kama Bogartan Anyayana Artha Sanchayan. They believe that to gratify their senses unto the end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization, and therefore there can be no measurement to their anxiety. Being bound by hundreds and thousands of desires, by lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. Therefore, we can clearly see that we're living in Kali Yuga, and that the present leadership and the present population are all less than Shudras, uncivilized men and women. And even the animals nowadays are uncivilized due to association with the human beings, like these so-called dogs, because they take on many times the qualities of their master. Therefore, even some stranger comes, they immediately want to attack them. You just walk down the street and all the dogs are barking on behalf of their master. Probably the master would like to come out and bark, but he doesn't have time, so he got a dog to bark at you when you pass by. Especially if you go to Peru, that's true. So why is this all happening? Because the leadership, there is no leadership. The beginning is Dharma, and unless the Brahmins are there to teach Dharma, then no one knows what's to be done and what's not to be done. As a matter of fact, in Kali Yuga, they believe that what's supposed to be done is what you're not supposed to do. Because like I said before, the modern authorities in Kali Yuga are just like our next door neighbor here, New Orleans. The time when the devotees, during a Mardi Gras, and I'm sure everyone here knows what Mardi Gras is, when the devotees went out during a Mardi Gras is 1 week of 1 million, 2 million people in the street performing every conceivable sinful activity possible as a marathon. And blasting music everywhere. Now, of course, the music has become even more degraded as people become even more crazy. Music is considered to be beautiful if it sounds like someone stepping on a cat's tail. But the devotees, out of their kindness, they went out on to perform Harinam. And as soon as they stepped out of their van and started to chant Hare Krishna, immediately the police came to protect all the actual law-abiding citizens and arrested all the devotees and put them in jail over the weekend and charged them with disturbing the peace. So what more can we... what other illustration do we have to give to illustrate how people think what's to be done is not to be done, and what is not to be done, they take that as their religion. People are considered to be pious, worthy of praise, if they know how to steal from everyone. That's known as business and government. Prabhupada once said, organized crime means the government. So basically speaking, the government means organized crime. Now, they may be following their laws, because especially in the United States, they've made so many laws that someone must be following the laws, because there's so many of them. And someone must be breaking them, because there's so many laws to break. But the government and the Justice Department have made it that way so that if they like you, if you are filling their pockets, then you're law-abiding, you're following their laws. And as soon as you go against them, then there's so many laws to declare that you're a criminal. So everyone is a criminal, everyone is a law-abiding citizen, and it's only up to the people in authority who are trying to exploit everyone else to declare whether you're a criminal or not. If you go against a government, which is like a terrorist organization, then you're declared a terrorist by the terrorists. But no one knows actually what's to be done, what's not to be done, because no one knows that everything here belongs to Krishna. And as the kings stop understanding that everything belongs to Krishna, then they think everything belongs to them. Or they think their citizens are supposed to give them, help them in their economic development. Because everyone assumes different roles in Kali Yuga simply for economic development. The priests are after economic development. The government heads are after economic development. Everyone, the doctors, the lawyers, even the dog is barking at us because he wants economic development. No one does anything without economic development with a promise of sense gratification. So that's the definition of a Shudra. So everyone, Kalo Shudra Sambhava, we can see clearly that everyone is Shudra, and even the rulers, as it explains here, they gradually degrade into Shudras, and then they become less than Shudras. As they lose their intelligence, they don't even know what actual economic development is anymore. Now, if you manufacture bombs to kill everyone, that's called economic development. Obviously, if you're going over country and killing people, I mean, what kind of how are you developing economically? What they actually mean, economic development, is that a few people benefit and everyone else suffers from so-called economic development. Economic development means you give to me and I take from you. Then I'm economically developing. And everyone else can go to hell because it doesn't really matter that everyone is more or less seen as an object for those who are actually wielding some kind of influence in economic development, and everyone more or less is in competition for economic development for sense gratification. The bigger fish eats the little fish, etc., etc., until there's no more fish. There's only one big fish, and it dies from indigestion, eating all the other fish. So what's the solution? Obviously, as it says here, it probably goes into the 12th century, and we're living in the 21st century now. So that's 9 centuries later, and it appears that things were not progressing in a very good way. And here, if they had to put the 13th canto and describe Kali Yuga as it is today, people living in the 12th century would be shocked at how degraded things have become. But luckily, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared 500 years ago after this historical explanation of kings is there. And we're supposed to be the ones who are going to counteract the age of Kali Yuga. So how to do that? Is it by economic development? What is the process? Well, obviously the process is eventually there has to be ideal kings on this planet. Otherwise, ideal leadership. Or else, how will Krishna consciousness progress? As we can see how slowly, if it is progressing, if it's going in which direction it's actually going in, sometimes we can wonder. especially in the Western world. So how is it going to go on? By the devotees actually becoming seriously, those who are actually participating presently in the Hare Krishna movement, becoming serious about the practices so that they become free from all these lower qualities. Tatascha nidinam dharma. They actually establish what real dharma is. The chanting of the holy names in the sage. They take seriously the chanting of Hare Krishna. Take seriously the spreading of Krishna consciousness, especially by the distribution of transcendental literature, and by introducing transcendental culture, that making the atmosphere spiritual by art, music, theater, drama, movies, everything and everything of culture, where we're introducing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because in this age, people are, they're not very philosophical. They're not certainly not cultural, but they like entertainment. That's the only thing they want. They want to be entertained. Circus and bread. That's the only thing they want. The telly, the television, and can of beer. That's the perfection of their life. And they can watch people performing the most degraded activities. It's considered the topmost, if you're a little civilized, then you watch football. People colliding in each other, at least in America or in other places, they're grabbing each other, trying to kill each other, or punching each other. That's considered to be entertainment. Watching other people suffer. And that's when, for the civilized people, for the less civilized people, we won't mention what they watch. And the only possibility is to replace that with an entertainment which will actually purify one out of the material concept of life and convince one that there's a higher purpose of life other than mindless entertainment in the mode of ignorance and passion. And giving them actually real food, at least bread offered to Krishna, if not chapatis or puris. So this movement is the only hope that civilization will go in a different direction. Otherwise, we can see that now it's all demon crazy, so-called democracy, which Prabhupada called demon crazy, which means that the Shudras, they actually believe they have some influence. They have no influence, really, or hardly any influence, because the people who are actually controlling everything are electing two groups of Shudras. So you have a choice between A group of Shudras and B class of Shudras, and behind them are even bigger Shudras. And the Shudras are thinking they have some choice, but actually they have no choice. And it's all been determined what's going to happen. What's going to happen is that they're going to do, their whole purpose is meant to degrade people even further, so they become duller, more easy to control, and eventually get rid of the people that they don't want, so that they rule over this planet with little opposition. And because they're less intelligent, and because the people they're ruling are less intelligent, simply there'll be continuous exploitation until the end of Kali Yuga. But this Hare Krishna movement is supposed to introduce another vision. As Prabhupada once said, this whole civilization, which is meant to keep people in darkness, will soon come to an end. So the leadership in this age, they're purposely keeping people in darkness and are trying to bring them into further darkness. Therefore, in school, you can teach that man has come from monkeys. In the beginning, there was nothing, as science. And if you teach that in the beginning there was God, then you're considered a religious fanatic, and you could be arrested and thrown into jail. Certainly you lose your job introducing such demoniac teachings as talking about God and that there's a purpose of life and it's not sense gratification and there's a God and it's not us and it's not any scientist. So we were already degraded to the lowest point seemingly possible. Nowadays, if you even kill someone, it's not considered a big thing. If you kill a lot of people, then it's not so good. You may be put into jail and then given parole after a few years because the jail is overcrowded with whoever they want to throw into jail. So again, the conclusion is we should chant Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna seriously, read these books, and try to come to a higher platform of service so that we realize that our service should be to systematically introduce Krishna consciousness to people in general so eventually they can elect proper leadership, so they can understand who's a real leader. Right now, no one even knows who a leader is. They complain about how their leadership are not fulfilling their desires, but they can be assured that the next group of leadership will do the same thing. As Prabhupada, when he was here, is saying, now they're saying, Nixon, America needs me. Or as a previous president said, something about change. What did he say about change? What did Obama say about change? What's that? Yeah. And the last one was about draining the swamp. So, I don't think he drained the swamp. I think he fell into it. And it goes on. So, it's simply endless promises. But if we can convince people who an actual leader is, then they'll know what a real change will be. They'll know what the swamp is. They'll know how to get out of the swamp. Who can actually help them out of the swamp. But if people have no knowledge, they don't know what the purpose of life is. They don't know what Dharma is, what Adharma is. They don't know what the purpose of life is, liberation or love of God. Then simply there'll be just one group of people promising economic development, another group and another promising sense gratification. And they'll simply fight with each other who's going to be the leader. And nothing will be accomplished. Just the final note, as long as people are killing animals, as long as they're having illicit sex, taking intoxicating meat eating, there can't be any change in the society for the better. There can only be degradation. So it doesn't matter who gets elected, the society must go to hell under the laws of nature. There's no alternative. People have to get their sinful reactions. No matter how people may claim they're going to change things, it's not possible. Because the material nature, they're changing things, but they can only change it for the worse. Because they have to be instruments to give people the reactions for their sinful activities. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? So don't expect when you come to class the next time things are going to get better. As we go through the 12th canto, you know, so-and-so got elected next and he established heaven on earth. No. Everything gets worse and worse and worse until we get to the last of the end of the Srimad Bhagavatam and it says, chant Hare Krishna. So that's the only hope for Kali Yuga. Any questions, comments?
You talk about the Mardi Gras. I was distributing books over there, and I thought of going to the main center portion of Mardi Gras where the people are really, really grossly involved in sense gratification. And when I went inside that site on Decatur, I was so scared. Literally, I was so scared that I had to go away from there. If I were to stand over there for 5 minutes, they would have crushed me up with their feet and they'd jump on me and they're dancing. I don't know what else. So, and when devotees go over there to do Harinam, they're putting them in jail. It's a very, very sad situation.
Yeah, anyhow. Let's all cry. But it won't do any good. Only, yeah, it's sad, and it's going to get worse. I think in America, probably there's more people who are vegans than there were before, at least vegetarians. But they themselves don't know. Because although they may be vegans, I think a lot of them, they still take intoxication, have illicit sex, they speculate and gamble. So it's not like they're pious because they're vegans.
Vegan, but they'll say it's okay to kill the baby, it's not the chicken. Yeah. pro-choice vegans.
Yes. So there's a group of religious people who are against abortion, but they don't mind killing animals. And there's a group of people who are against, or irreligious, so-called. They don't mind, they mind killing animals, but they don't mind killing children. So, it's Kali Yuga. All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande, Haribol.